This is the Odyssey Las Vegas Public Affairs Show. I'm Heather Vail, and joining me is Jeff Lebo, Executive Producer and Director of Development for the NF Hope Concert. Jeff is a former star of the Tony Award-winning musical Jersey Boys. He started the NF Hope Concert with his wife Melody to support advocacy and research for patients with neurofibromatosis, like their daughter Emma. Jeff, thank you so much for being here today.
Thank you for having me on.
So, first of all, what exactly is neurofibromatosis, or NF?
Neurofibromatosis is a neurological disorder that's characterized by tumors that can grow on any nerve in the body at any time. There are a number of symptoms that are also common with NF, including attention disorders and learning issues. But the most notable thing and the reason it got its name are those tumors.
And how common is neurofibromatosis?
NF is actually one of the most common of the rare diseases, but it is still a rare disease. It affects about one in every 2,500 births, meaning approximately equivalent to about 130,000 in the U.S., but it makes it more prevalent than hereditary muscular dystrophy, Tay-Sachs, Huntington's, and cystic fibrosis combined.
Okay. Tell us more about your story and how it affected your life when your daughter was diagnosed with NF.
You know, I think the biggest thing with NF for any new family that's diagnosed is most of us have never heard of that word before we ever heard a doctor say it to us. So for me and my wife, we didn't know what that meant. And so it became very important for us to understand what NF was. And that's actually how I got connected with the charity, Neurofibromatosis Network, because the executive director is the one that picked up the phone when I called. And she spoke to me not only as the executive director of a national charity, but as a mom of an NF daughter as well. And, you know, once we kind of understood that, it just became about getting used to the fact that our daughter has a neurological disorder and figure out the best way to help her.
Yeah. So what is the NF Hope Concert?
The NF Hope Concert was actually our response to, you know, this diagnosis. We wanted to do something. There's no cure. At the time, there was not even a single FDA-approved treatment. And so raising awareness and funds for, you know, helping with that research and the programs that help NF communities became a really big part of what my wife and I wanted to do. We wanted to just do something. And our something turned out to be in a world that we knew, which is entertainment. And out of that was born a concert called the NF Hope Concert.
And how long have you been holding the NF Hope Concert in Las Vegas?
This will be our 14th concert here on October 20th, and we started back in 2011. So we've been doing it for just a little less than 14 years by the time we get there.
Awesome. Okay. Now, you mentioned it's on October 20th. What time and where exactly is it happening?
The concert will be at Myron's at the Smith Center at 1 p.m. on Sunday, October 20th. And you can actually show up a little early. The lobby will be open at 11:30 if you want to take a peek at the auction. But yeah, we do have a few tickets left and would love to fill them. And it goes from about 1 p.m. to 3 p.m.
Okay, so it's not just a concert. There's also a silent auction. What else can people expect if they attend the NF Hope Concert?
You know, the whole idea of the NF Hope Concert is an afternoon of entertainment that also educates. You know, my goal is to help raise awareness, and I want people to walk out of there knowing what NF is and being able to tell somebody if they meet them on the street. So in addition to the auction, in addition to the entertainment, there's also that sort of education that will come with it and an opportunity to meet some of the people that are really making a difference in the community and some of the NF families that we're doing this for.
And who are some of the performers this year?
We got an amazing lineup. We have Michaela Gordon, who's an American Idol finalist. We have Steph Payne, who's a regular here in town and an Emmy Award-winning songwriter. My buddy Delius from All for One, a Grammy Award-winning band, as well as some others like Mr. Vegas Golden Pipes himself, Carnell Johnson, if anybody out there is a Golden Knights fan, and a couple of others. But also, my wife and I do a song of our daughter's choosing every year. So you can expect a fun afternoon of entertainment and be wowed by some of these performers.
What kind of song does your daughter Emma typically choose for you and Melody to sing?
You know, that's changed over the years. Our very first concert, we sang a song from Tangled. And in her early years, her suggestions for songs were very much appropriate for a 2 or 3 or 4 or 5 year old. But she's now 15. So you can imagine we're not doing Broadway or Disney anymore. So this year we're singing a song that comes out of the pop world, which I will not say because you have to come to the concert if you want to see it.
All right, cool. Now, you mentioned the silent auction. What are some of the silent auction items that are available for bidding on?
We have some really cool staycations from Virgin Hotels, from the Venetian, from the Cromwell, South Point. We also have great show tickets to shows like, you know, Donny Osmond and Human Nature, and even a group that I just recently started with my Jersey Boys buddies, the Formers. And also dinner at some of the best restaurants in town, including one of my favorites, Bouchon, a very generous local taqueteria, is that how you say it? Called Me Gusta Tacos, and a whole bunch more.
Okay, cool. Now, you mentioned the NF Network. How is the nationwide charity tied in with the local NF Hope Concert Series?
When I made that phone call to the executive director, Kim Bischoff, I found out a lot about how that organization works. It's a very grassroots-oriented organization that is absolutely about helping all of the NF communities out there. So it was how I connected with them. And it is also a great way for me to make sure that some of that support was landing right here in Southern Nevada and in Nevada as a state. And so the community here, I've been a point of contact for new families. It's really been my focus to ensure that new families have the resources that they need to understand this diagnosis and to be that person who picks up the phone and talks to them about it, like Kim Bischoff did when we made that phone call. And so a lot of that option for the Nevada families that are just understanding this for the first time is there because of the NF Hope concert.
Awesome. Okay, so where can people go to get more information about, first of all, the NF Network, also the 14th annual NF Hope concert, or get tickets to this year's show?
You know, the easiest place is to just go to nfhope.org. That is our website. It has links to the auction. It has links to the ticket site on the Smith Center. But they can also go directly there if they go to the Smith Center website. And it also has links to NF Network to get more information about NF. So nfhope.org is probably the best place to start. And that'll give you an option to go visit a number of sites that will give you information and opportunities to give.
Okay, fantastic. So once again, that website is nfhope.org. NF is neurofibromatosis, but nfhope.org is the easier name to remember, and it's a very short and simple website, nfhope.org. Now, the 14th annual NF Hope concert is happening on Sunday, October 20th at 1 p.m. at the Smith Center. You can find out all the information there at nfhope.org or buy tickets to the event. They also have links to the auction if you want to check out the silent auction items. And if you want to find out more about neurofibromatosis and how it affects people and why the NF Hope concert is so important, nfhope.org. And we've been speaking today with Jeff Lebo. He's the executive producer of the NF Hope concert, which of course is raising money for those living with neurofibromatosis or NF. So Jeff, I want to thank you so much for being here, sharing your story, your inspiration for putting on this fantastic concert every year that is more than just entertainment. As you said, it entertains and educates at the same time so that people can learn more about this most common of the rare diseases, as you say. So thank you so much for your time today.
It's my pleasure. Thank you for having me on.
1 in 4 Americans today are living with a disability. I'm one of them. People with disabilities are extremely talented, resilient problem solvers that have so much to offer. And we've got a trusted ally on our side, an organization we can rely on, Easter Seals. Easter Seals is leading the way to full equity, inclusion, and access to healthcare, employment, and education for people with disabilities, families, and communities. That's my Easter Seals. Make it yours.
Learn more and get involved at easterseals.com.
You're listening to the Odyssey Las Vegas Public Affairs Show. I'm Heather Vail, and I'm speaking with Kimberly Kindig, CEO of Candlelighters Childhood Cancer Foundation of Nevada. The organization's 26th annual Halloween Bash is coming up at the end of the month, offering a chance for pediatric cancer patients to escape and have fun for a night. Kimberly, thank you so much for being here today.
Thank you so much, Heather. I'm looking forward to talking with you.
So for those who aren't familiar with the organization, what does Candlelighters Childhood Cancer Foundation of Nevada do?
So Candlelighters Childhood Cancer Foundation of Nevada was founded over 45 years ago with its mission to really just wrap our arms around local families facing childhood cancer and provide them the support they need so that they don't have to face childhood cancer alone.
Okay. What kinds of services and resources do you offer to childhood cancer patients and their families?
So our programs and services fall under three pillars. It's financial assistance, emotional support services, and quality of life events. So events that happen in safe, supportive family environments. And really, these three key pillars are what we have highlighted as sort of the three things that every family needs when they hear the words, your child has cancer.
Yeah. And what does the name Candlelighters represent?
You know, for us, it really is about being a light in the darkness. And so, you know, in Southern Nevada, about two families each week hear the words, your child has cancer. And when they do, it's devastating. And these families face uncertainty and fear. And, you know, the whole purpose of Candlelighters was to be able to reach out to, you know, the parents, the children, both the diagnosed and the siblings, and light the way for them so that they can find their way through what many of them will say is their darkest and most trying moments.
How would you say Candlelighters compares to other nonprofits in the Valley that might also deal with childhood cancer patients?
I think one of the things that I love so much about Candlelighters is really that, you know, we were started by two families who were both facing childhood cancer. And we've really continued that legacy of being a family extended to other families. We provide support to the entire family. We recognize that when childhood cancer affects a family, it doesn't just affect the child who's ill, it affects, you know, the siblings and the parents and caregivers. And so all of our services are geared toward the entire family, and all of our services are offered at no cost. I think the other benefit of Candlelighters, or at least a differentiating factor, is that we've been in the community for 45 years and we've specifically focused on childhood cancer. And we've walked this journey thousands and thousands of times with families. And, you know, I think we bring an understanding and a lived experience for these families that we can anticipate their needs. And so, you know, one of the things, especially with our board and our staff, is that we have people at every level of the organization who has a direct connection to childhood cancer and can speak from experience, lived experience for these families.
Wow, that's fantastic. So tell us about the 26th annual Halloween Bash coming up.
So the Halloween Bash is so much fun. And like you mentioned, it's our 26th, happening on Thursday, October 24th. For its entire inception, we've been partnering with the Ellis Island Casino Restaurant and the Ellis family. And it's really such a beautiful partnership because, again, it's a family who has put on this amazing event for other families. So we will welcome about 650 individuals to Cowabunga Bay Water Park in Henderson, and we'll transform that parking lot into like the most fun night for these families and these children who otherwise likely wouldn't get to go out and trick or treat because they're immune compromised. And we really just roll out the red carpet and we give them a night where they can just be kids, which, you know, when you're going through childhood cancer, those moments are few. And it's really just about creating happy moments and giving these kids joy.
That's fantastic. So Thursday, October 24th at Cowabunga Bay Water Park. And what time does it happen?
So it starts at 5:30 and it goes to 8 p.m. We'll have trunk or treat stations out there. We'll have carnival games and food. And so yeah, these families will come out and they'll just have, you know, the time of their life. And we hear from families years and years after, and also the kids, because it's super beloved that like this was one of their favorite moments. And I think that's what inspires us every year to, you know, try to be bigger and better than the previous year.
So you're expecting about 650 this year. In what ways has that grown over the years?
So that actually is our maximum. I think if we were to open it up to our entire community, we would probably have like
Thousands of individuals come out because, again, it is such a beloved event, but we limit it so that, you know, those who are either more recently diagnosed or have had a more difficult journey are prioritized to be able to experience this wonderful night.
Nice. So the event is for your Candlelighters families, but how can community members help out with making the event a success?
This is one of our largest events of the year, and it also serves as a fundraising opportunity for the community to be involved. And so, you know, if someone's inspired to get involved, they can sponsor the event and participate in the trunk and treating or any number of the activations that we have there. And it's a great night, whether, you know, you're a company or individual, to get your colleagues or your family and friends to come out and really give a really unique experience to our kiddos. Beyond that, we also have any number of needs leading up to the event. So you can go on our website at candlelightersnv.org. You can take a look at our Amazon Prime wish list. We're in need of candy. We're in need of costumes specifically for our older kiddos. And you can also go on there and, you know, if you're not interested in making a purchase, we also would love donations that will go support our families all year long. And lastly, there are any number of opportunities to come out and volunteer. So those are sort of the three ways that the community can come out and support this event and support other local families going through childhood cancer.
So if someone were to come out and volunteer on that night to help make it special for the Candlelighters families, what could they expect? What would they be doing exactly?
Well, if folks want to come out and volunteer, I would encourage them to register beforehand. But on the night of the event, you know, you're really the person bringing the fun and the joy. You're helping hand out candy. You're helping pass out food. You're just really creating a lively and energetic environment for these kiddos. And I think what's so special about Halloween, especially for, you know, whether you're going through cancer and you've lost your hair or you're physically changed because of the illness, like you can literally be whoever you want to be on Halloween. And I think that's why this event is so special. So those who get to come out and help us deliver this experience, I think that their hearts will be touched by what this means to these children and their families.
Nice. Okay. So you mentioned the website. Is that where people can also register if they'd like to volunteer at the event?
Yeah, absolutely. They can go on to candlelightersnv.org. They can register to volunteer. They can look at our Amazon wish list to help purchase candy, costumes, decor, or to make a donation or sponsor.
And they can also find out more about Candlelighters Childhood Cancer Foundation of Nevada on the website as well?
Absolutely.
All right. Perfect. So once again, that website is candlelightersnv.org, stands for Candlelighters Nevada, candlelightersnv.org. You can find out more about the Candlelighters Childhood Cancer Foundation of Nevada, what they do in our community. If you would like to make a donation, you can sponsor the upcoming 26th annual Halloween Bash. You can also purchase items from the Amazon Prime wish list. That includes candies and costumes for the kids so they can have a great time at that Halloween Bash. And of course, if you would like to volunteer and be at the forefront of helping those kids have a great night, you can also register to become a volunteer on the website. Once again, all of that is at candlelightersnv.org. And the 26th annual Halloween Bash is happening on Thursday, October 24th from 5:30 to 8 p.m. at Cowabunga Bay Water Park in Henderson. And we've been speaking today with Kimberly Kindig. She's the CEO of Candlelighters Childhood Cancer Foundation of Nevada. And Kimberly, it's been great talking to you and finding out more of the amazing work that Candlelighters does for the kids in our community and the families who are going through pediatric cancer. I know it's such a hard thing to deal with, but Candlelighters is there making it easier and helping them through that journey. So thank you so much for your time today.
Thank you so much, Heather. Appreciate it.
Learning your child has cancer causes an emotional and financial crisis. Often, the best place for treatment is far from home. But with the help of the National Children's Cancer Society, children battling cancer can get to life-saving treatment, whether it's across town or across the country. To learn how we give families hope and give their children the best shot at survival, visit thenccs.org. That's THENCCS.org. Because no family should go through childhood cancer alone.
I'm Heather Vail, and this is the Odyssey Las Vegas Public Affairs Show. Joining me is Dr. Monique Gary, breast surgeon and advocate, and Nina Parker, Emmy-nominated TV host known for her work on E! News and the Netflix series By My House. October is Breast Cancer Awareness Month, and the Uncovering TNBC campaign addresses barriers that Black women face when it comes to triple-negative breast cancer, or TNBC. Dr. Gary and Nina, thank you both so much for being here today.
Hi, thanks for having us.
It's great to be here.
So first of all, Dr. Gary, could you establish for us what is triple negative breast cancer?
Absolutely. Triple negative breast cancer is a type of breast cancer that is more aggressive than the conventional kind, and it's difficult to treat. And while anyone can get triple negative breast cancer, it accounts for about 10 to 15% of all breast cancers. And Black women are affected more by this disease. We are twice as likely to be diagnosed with this disease. We tend to get diagnosed at a younger age, younger than 40. We may have BRCA1 or 2 mutations. And it's really why we're collaborating with Merck on this Uncovering TNBC campaign, because there's still so much more to know. And there's so many resources that are out there for women. And we want them to feel empowered with that.
Yeah, that's awesome. Nina, what made you decide to put your efforts behind triple negative breast cancer awareness?
You know, I've always been an advocate of breast cancer awareness, but several years ago, my mother was diagnosed with breast cancer, and it really showed me how little I knew about breast cancer. I didn't know there were different types. And in educating myself, really, knowledge became power. And I wanted to help other people. I would talk to friends, and they had no idea that TNBC existed. And so telling people that screenings are important and being an advocate for yourself, for finding out about support groups, was really a whole new world for me. And I really honestly wanted to spread the information that I got. And using Uncover TNBC has been incredibly helpful in my journey.
Awesome. Now, Dr. Gary, how common is triple negative breast cancer in the U.S. in general?
In general, in the U.S., triple negative breast cancer only accounts for about 10 to 15% of all breast cancer types. What makes it important and what makes this discussion really important is how aggressive this disease is, because by the time it's diagnosed, it may have already spread. So we want people to be aware of any symptoms. We want them to get their screenings. And we want this to be on the radar, especially of every Black woman, because we are twice as likely to get this type of breast cancer.
And why do Black women face barriers in getting treatment that others may not?
There are barriers at every level. And some of it is systemic. It has to do with when young women present with disease and they may not fit the classic mold of what breast cancer looks like. We know that there can be some implicit bias and some systemic racism, but a lot of this has to do with getting early screenings and early detection. It has to do with knowing our family history, and it really has to do with all the things that we have on our website, Uncovering TNBC, where you can go and find out, am I at risk? What are the stories? What are the facts about triple negative breast cancer, so that a woman can feel empowered and be armed with that information.
What are some of the symptoms of triple negative breast cancer?
The number one symptom of any breast cancer is no symptom at all. And it's why it's so important for us to get our screenings. When there are symptoms, women could experience a mass or a lump. She might have pain in her breast. She may have changes in the skin. And so you want to have that relationship with your doctor. And when you have any symptoms at all, especially something that's different from your normal, you need to go to your physician right away and you need to get checked.
Okay. Nina, what advice do you have for women who are going through a breast cancer diagnosis?
You know, listen, in dealing with my mother and finding out that she had breast cancer, it scared me. And I delayed my screening for 2 years. And finally, my doctor pretty much had to have a moment with me that said, look, girl, you gonna hit and get this. And it was the best thing I could ever do, because they actually did find something, but it ended up being benign. And so what I want to tell people is, having people be thorough is the best thing that you can do. And I think we think avoiding it, not looking into something, is going to somehow cure everything. And unfortunately, avoidance is the worst thing you can do. There are so many ways and so many treatments, and also such a warmth and wealth of people being available to you. It's almost shocking how much support you have. So what I would say is, things can definitely be scary. sometimes we get on the internet and we look up things and we all get a little terrified, but just make sure that we're having a wealth of information around us, that knowledge is power, and also everything is step by step. And the earlier that you get a detection, the better. So it's just really important to empower yourself.
Yeah, definitely. And what are some of the resources and information available in the Uncovering TNBC campaign?
Listen, there's so many advocacy groups that are available to us. Also, going on the site and being able to look at and see, hey, this is what's going on with me. Being able to have detailed information, resources, links, that's all available. So it's going to take you to other places, which is great. But being able to have one place at uncovertnbc.com where you can go to help figure out just, hey, where do I start? This is the best place to start to be able to figure out where you need to go on your path.
Okay, perfect. Now, Dr. Gary, what is the key takeaway that you'd like our audience to remember about this issue?
The key takeaway on this issue is that knowledge is power. TNBC is a less common type of breast cancer, so we want people to be aware. We want them to know if they're at risk. We want Black women to know that there are resources and that there's hope and that there's support. So much of the language around triple negative breast cancer is so negative, and when you go to this site, you're going to see amazing stories of empowerment, people who are thriving. You're going to get reliable information as opposed to, you know, disinformation that you might find on the internet. And so going to the website, uncovertnbc.com, is a great place to start your journey. It's a great place to support those who are battling breast cancer. And this is the month for us to remember that, you know, breast cancer affects everyone, but it affects us differently. And we want you to know there's resources, there's power, there's hope, and it's at uncoveringtnbc.com.
All right, awesome. So once again, that website is uncovertnbc.com. TNBC stands for triple negative breast cancer. uncovertnbc.com. And this is part of the Uncovering TNBC campaign, which addresses some of the barriers that Black women face when it comes to triple negative breast cancer. Of course, October is Breast Cancer Awareness Month, so it's a great time to talk about this, but it's super important all year round. We've been speaking today with Dr. Monique Gary. She's a breast surgeon and advocate, and also Nina Parker, who's an Emmy-nominated TV host. Thank you both so much for being here. Such great information you've brought to people. And as you mentioned, not a lot of people are aware of triple negative breast cancer. So I'm so happy that you're here sharing this information with us. Thank you so much.
Thank you.
Thanks for having us.
If you're a woman, talk to your doctor by age 25 about your risk of getting breast cancer. More women under 40 are getting breast cancer, and these cancers are often more deadly. The American College of Radiology recommends you ask your doctor if you should get a mammogram before age 40, need other tests like an MRI with your yearly mammogram, or if at high risk should be checked more than once a year. For more information, visit mammographysaveslives.org.
This is the Odyssey Las Vegas Public Affairs Show. I'm Heather Vail, and I'm speaking with Lee Purvis, Prescription Drug Policy Principal for AARP Public Policy. Starting in 2025, annual out-of-pocket prescription drug costs will be capped for millions of Medicare enrollees as part of the 2022 Inflation Reduction Act. A new AARP report analyzed how many seniors will benefit by state, age, gender, and race. Lee, thank you so much for being here today.
Thank you for having me.
So tell us about this new out-of-pocket prescription drug cap and how it will benefit older Americans.
This is a really important new protection for the millions of people who are in Medicare prescription drug plans. Previously, there was no limit on how much they had to spend on their prescription drugs every year. So the fact that there's now going to be an out-of-pocket limit within that benefit is an incredibly important improvement for people who are sometimes facing costs upwards of $10,000 per year if they were on expensive drugs.
Okay, so does this affect people who have any type of Medicare as long as there's prescription drugs included in the plan?
It's part of what is known as Medicare Part D, and that is where people in Medicare enroll in private plans that cover prescription drugs. So anyone who's enrolled in one of those prescription drug plans will benefit from this new out-of-pocket cap.
Awesome. So what did your new AARP report reveal about how much people will save?
We found that the savings are actually going to be pretty significant. Again, going back to the fact that people are often on fixed incomes. On average, about 40% of people who hit the cap between 2025 and 2029 will save upwards of $1,000 annually. So really a big amount of money at the individual level that is going to help a lot of people who've been struggling for a very long time.
Nice. What were some of the other key findings in your report?
We found that there was a lot of variability in terms of those savings, actually. You know, I gave you an average, but there are some people who hit the cap and will see savings of more than $5,000. So it really speaks to how much some people have been spending on their prescription drugs, and again, how much this cap is going to help them.
When you say reach the cap, how exactly does this work?
So this is specific to how much you personally are spending on your prescription drugs. So every time you go to the pharmacy and you pay a copayment, or you pay something towards the prescription drug that you are filling at the pharmacy, that counts towards your out-of-pocket cap. So once people have spent $2,000, that's when they hit that new limit and they no longer have to spend anything for the rest of the year.
Nice. So it's going into effect in 2025. Do we have an ETA?
This new cap goes into effect on January 1st, 2025. So people who sometimes are on such expensive drugs that they hit that cap almost immediately, that cap will be there on day one. And it's going to be there every year going forward. So again, a really important new protection that will help a lot of people for a long time.
Okay. So what do Medicare enrollees need to know in order to take advantage? Should they just go about their regular business, or should they plan somehow and maybe strategize their spending?
So that's actually a really great question. This new out-of-pocket cap is part of a larger change that is part of the Inflation Reduction Act of 2022. And there's actually going to be something known as smoothing, which is when you can take all of your out-of-pocket costs and spread them out over the year. So if you're someone who's facing those kinds of costs that will get you to the cap, you can actually spread out your payments over the year rather than facing them all at once. So it's definitely worth some strategizing if you know that you're going to hit that cap. But for the vast majority of people, the reality is your plan is going to be keeping track of your out-of-pocket costs. There's not a whole lot that you need to do other than keep a lookout for something from the plan saying you've reached your limit and you no longer have to spend anything for the rest of the year.
Okay, perfect. So where can listeners go if they want to learn more about this new Medicare spending cap?
People who want to learn more about this can go to aarp.org/Part D spending cap.
Okay, perfect. aarp.org/Part D spending cap is the website to go to. aarp.org/Part D spending cap. Now, this refers to Medicare Part D, which are the plans that have the prescription drugs included, and there will be a new annual out-of-pocket prescription drug cost cap that Medicare enrollees can take advantage of starting on January 1st, 2025 as part of the Inflation Reduction Act. So once again, that website, aarp.org/Part D spending cap. And we've been speaking today with Lee Purvis. She's the prescription drug policy principal for AARP Public Policy. And Lee, I'm so glad you're here to explain this because, you know, I'm sure a lot of people don't know about it. And the fact that you've done the report, you've got some projected results, and you're able to share exactly how this is going to work. Very, very helpful. So thank you so much for your time today.
Absolutely. Thank you for having me.
Victor deployed for the first time to Afghanistan in 2003. He sustained a moderate traumatic brain injury. One of the most important elements of caregiving is taking care of yourself.
For many military veteran caregivers, their caregiving journey starts earlier in life and lasts longer. Visit aarp.org/caregiving for a free military veteran's guide to navigate your caregiving journey and better care for your loved one and yourself. Brought to you by AARP and the Ad Council.
I'm Heather Vail, and this is the Odyssey Las Vegas Public Affairs Show. Joining me is Dr. Lori Benton, Executive Director on the Counselor Community Engagement Team at the College Board. Now is a great time for students to get started on college and career planning, but figuring out what comes next after high school can feel overwhelming. Dr. Benton, thank you so much for being here today.
Thank you so much for having me.
So what exactly is the College Board?
The College Board is a membership organization to support students on the path to college. We have over 6,000 members, and we are the organization that supports the development and implementation around advanced placement, courses, SAT, and Big Future.
Okay, and what is Big Future?
So glad that you asked. Big Future is a great resource, and as we talk about what students can do in the fall to get ahead for the college planning process, Big Future is a one-stop platform to help families navigate this process, because as you said, sometimes it can feel overwhelming about what comes next after high school. And so we wanted to make sure that we developed tools and resources to help families navigate the process. And Big Future is an online tool that allows students and families to explore careers, plan for college, and pay for college, all on one platform. And the tools and guidance help millions of students every year personalize a plan for their future, both for college and career planning.
Okay, so what exactly can students do in the fall if they're looking to get ahead in the college planning process?
The first step really is for students to just have these conversations and families to have these conversations. And we encourage students to start researching and building a college list. We also encourage students to sign up to take the new digital test. Students can use the Blue Book app, which is the platform that students actually can practice and take the exam on, along with the official digital SAT prep program that's on Khan Academy. Those are great resources to help students practice and be best prepared for the SAT. Next, we want really students to start making sure that they're researching and applying for scholarships so that they can also complete that FAFSA, which is the free application for federal student aid that allows students to apply for and qualify for financial aid in the form of grants, scholarships, or loans. We want them to use these tools and take a step-by-step approach so that it doesn't feel as overwhelming, because we want students to ultimately find the right college fit for them. And then also, of course, make good decisions and informed decisions about careers that are available and interesting to them.
Okay. Now, is Big Future something that the kids typically navigate on their own, or should parents also be in the platform doing their own research?
It's a little bit of both. There's a parent section with lots of resources and information to help them understand how to best advise their students. But basically, it really is a student-focused platform, easily to navigate. And what we ask students to do is they can sign on to Big Future, and it will give them information and guidance along the path, steps they need to take, information and actions that they should be aware of, related courses they can take in high school, information to apply to colleges. They can go into and get information about different colleges and programs, as well as information about careers. Career information is included on the Big Future platform, and students can explore almost 1,000 career options. And each career profile has details like a potential income, the most common education level, the skills needed. And really, there is also an exciting, really easy 10-minute career quiz that is a great starting point for students and parents to really get a snapshot of the options that may be of interest to them.
Nice. Okay. Now, when it comes to grant scholarships and loans and otherwise navigating paying for college, what should we be keeping in mind?
Keeping in mind that it's a critical aspect of the college process, and we want to know and make sure that students understand that regardless of the realities or their perception of the realities about how to afford college, we want them to continue to be optimistic about their future. On Big Future, that students can also access a step-by-step guide for financial aid to help students simplify and understand the process required to apply and compare financial aid packages. Students can use this platform to search over 24,000 scholarships and match with over $1.5 billion in support based on their background, interests, and future plans. So it's a step-by-step process, and it begins with students doing the research, making sure that they're completing that FAFSA, the free application for federal student aid, and the CSS profile, which are two forms that are used to determine eligibility for financial aid and unlock access to billions of dollars in financial aid, like those grant scholarships and loans. One of the things that is important, I know, in this economy is to think about a scholarship opportunity that is a part of Big Future, which is called Big Future Scholarship, and it's open to all students, regardless of GPA. It doesn't require an essay, and it doesn't require a recommendation. We want students starting in 10th grade to complete college planning steps, and they can win scholarship drawings. There are actually two $40,000 scholarships and multiple $500 scholarships that are awarded each and every month. And it's basically students just taking the steps that we just talked about. They start by completing a college list, start a career list. They can start a scholarship list, strengthen their college list, complete the FAFSA, and apply to colleges. And all of these steps are guided on Big Future, and students can be recognized and awarded and qualify for those scholarships, whether it's a $40,000 scholarship or those multiple $500 scholarships that are awarded each month. So it's a win-win for everyone.
Yeah, that's fantastic. Now, are there any important dates or deadlines coming up?
Absolutely. First and foremost, as a former school counselor, I always encourage families to check with their school counselor to confirm local program deadlines and activities. But some additional important deadlines for the class of 2025 is coming up on October 31st. Students should strengthen their college list for the Big Future scholarships I just mentioned. And then for our seniors and upcoming juniors, if they want to register for the November or December SAT, those deadlines are coming up on October 18th and November 22nd.
Okay. So where can listeners find out more information or access the college planning resources that are available through Big Future?
They just need to go to bigfuture.org, bigfuture.org to get started. And they will learn so much and feel more comfortable and confident about the plan that they have for life after high school and career.
Perfect. Okay. So once again, that website is bigfuture.org, bigfuture.org. That's the Big Future platform put out by the College Board. And on that platform, there's plenty of resources and planning tools for the kids to get started. If they're in high school now, looking forward to college, whether they're in 10th grade, 11th grade, 12th grade, it's never too early to get started with this. Access to financing, access to college applications, help doing the research process. All of it's right there on bigfuture.org. And we've been speaking today with Dr. Lori Benton. She's the executive director on the counselor community engagement team at the College Board. And Dr. Benton, it's been fantastic hearing more about this really great resource that you have available for the students. It sounds like it really helps with the college planning process every step of the way. So I really appreciate you being here sharing with us today. Thank you so much.
Thank you so much for having me. You have a great day.
When students struggle in school because they are hungry
or fall behind because they lack school supplies or clean clothing,
being greeted at the start of every school day by the smile of a caring adult can make all the difference.
Especially someone from the community.
Someone who knows firsthand the obstacles students might be facing.
And what it will take to help them thrive.
At Communities in Schools, our site coordinators surround students with a community of support and remain by their side
to ensure that they have everything they need to engage in learning
and succeed in school and in life.
Access to technology, learning materials,
and even one-to-one mentor support.
We are there for them all day, every day. This is what Communities in Schools is all about.
Going all in for kids, in schools, in communities, and beyond.
To learn more, visit communitiesinschools.org. That's communitiesinschools.org.
I'm Heather Vail, and this is the Odyssey Las Vegas Public Affairs Show. Joining me is Lieutenant Colonel Jessica Brozda, Veterinary Preventative Medicine Officer in the U.S. Army Reserve. October is National Pet Wellness Month, and military working dogs serve a crucial role alongside Army Reserve soldiers, while Army Reserve veterinarians are the first line of care for these trusty four-legged teammates. Lieutenant Colonel Brozda, thank you so much for being here today.
Well, thank you for having me. I'm just very happy to be able to speak about a subject that's so near and dear to my heart with my four-legged friends.
Yeah, for sure. Now, for those who don't know, what exactly is the U.S. Army Reserve?
So the U.S. Army Reserve, we're basically backfill, at least my position as a veterinarian in the Army Reserve, backfill for active duty veterinarians. So we kind of go ahead and fill in for when their duty sites need a veterinarian. And then we also have separate areas of responsibility outside the U.S. that we're assigned to. So whether it be like AFRICOM, EUCOM, SOCOM, so all the different areas of the world that we kind of support as well.
Awesome. Okay. Now, how many military dogs are working with the Army Reserve?
So the Army organically owns themselves over 500 military working dogs. However, as a veterinarian in the Army, we serve all of the branches of the military. So there's over 1,600 military working dogs that we care for. And then there's also a lot of other contractor dogs too, in addition to that, that we provide services for as well.
Okay. And what are some of the things that military dogs do?
The military working dogs, they're all dual trained. So what that means is that they're certified for patrol. All of them, you know, have to go through a qualification standard to obtain that certification that they did well enough and that they passed. They actually only have about a 50% pass rate for certifying dogs. So there's a lot of fail outs, or just like how we say, like, you know, foster fails. Well, there's a lot of people that are very happy to have a well-trained working dogs that didn't quite meet the standard. But so they do patrol, and then they're also dual certified in another qualification, such as narcotics detection, IED, so improvised explosive device detection, search and rescue, serve a wide variety of purposes in how they help the soldiers and are deployed with units. And they truly are a force multiplier, as I see them, not only from the standpoint of just having such a loyal and dedicated companion alongside you, but just keeping your team safe as well.
Yeah, for sure. And what's your role within the Veterinary Corps?
Within the Veterinary Corps, I'm with the 7358th Veterinary Detachment at a Picatinny Arsenal in New Jersey. So I serve, you know, kind of a part-time job in the military. And then when they, you know, need me, they do call me up for longer periods of time. My role itself is backfilling for active duty veterinarians when they need services or coverage at their different veterinary treatment facilities. But the role of an Army veterinarian can be very diverse, even in the reserves or active duty. You can be, you know, attached to a civil affairs unit, kind of helping with sustainment operations. You can be a research veterinarian. So, you know, involved in cutting edge research, you know, helping with diseases that they're called zoonotic diseases. So diseases that can be transmitted from, you know, animals to humans or vice versa, you know, biosecurity, animal health, public health. And so we also, a large part of our job is, you know, training and educating service members on animal care, on these diseases, these zoonotic diseases, you know, ensuring that everyone remains safe with public health and that we can make sure that, you know, our handlers, our dog handlers can care for the animals appropriately, train them and teach them, you know, first aid response, as well as for our human medical providers, because a lot of times, you know, we're such a small number. There's only right now in AR Medcom, 39 veterinarians, where there's over, you know, 700 total veterinarians, but that's a lot less than we have on the human side. So many times they're the first ones that may be seeing them in a deployed situation. So we have to make sure that they know how to keep themselves safe when handling with the working dogs, and then also, you know, how to appropriately stabilize them before they are able to see us as a veterinarian.
Okay. Now, since it's National Pet Wellness Month, what are some of the wellness practices for military dogs?
So the wellness practices for military dogs don't differ greatly from that of what you should be doing for your pet or what we're able to do, but they actually do get quite a top tier, you know, health care in that, you know, they have scheduled routine wellness exams at least twice a year, if not more, as needed. They get their routine, you know, vaccinations, preventative medicines. I'm sure a lot of you are familiar with having to give your dog either a pill every month or putting some, you know, medication on the back of their neck. That's just a treat for parasites, you know, fleas, ticks, those kind of things, making sure that they don't, you know, get any of them or that we also don't, you know, get exposed to them, you know, by being close to our pets or the military working dogs. We provide surgical services for the military working dogs as needed, emergency care. And then it's also really important with the military working dogs because they're so active. You know, the more active you are, a lot of times you can get more strains, sprains, injuries that we need to go ahead and address. So a lot of times physical rehabilitation, so your PT is very important for the military working dogs as well. So that way we can return them to duty and make sure that, you know, they stay healthy. Other things that you can do to help make sure that you keep your pets healthy at home too. One of the biggest ones, unfortunately, is keeping a healthy weight, which is, I know we all struggle with that, but it's just as important for our pets just because they have the same risk factors as we do in that when we become overweight, you know, we can be more prone to, you know, having cancer, joint issues, and then also diabetes. So if we can kind of eliminate that, then it keeps our pets with us a lot longer. You know, unfortunately, they don't live quite as long as we do. And so we want to make every year count. So that's why annual or twice a year exams are very important, just because it's like us, you know, only seeing the doctor every 5 to 10 years, just because of how, you know, the age kind of difference in aging exists between us. It's also important, you know, to keep our pets nice and groomed so that they're healthy, have plenty of fresh water, especially with our cats. You know, it's so important for them to stay hydrated. So running water is a great source. They've got a lot of those automatic waterers, you know, to keep them having really good urinary health and kidney health. Because unfortunately for cats, kidney disease is one of the most common things that they have starting in older age. So we want to make sure that they stay, you know, nice and healthy throughout their life. And then, you know, preventative medicine checkups are even great for some of your smaller furry friend pets. So, you know, your rabbits, rats, ferrets, all kinds of, you know, small animals. And they also require veterinary care, too, to make sure that their teeth are growing appropriately. You know, if we don't have enough things for them to chew on, sometimes their teeth can get overgrown, and then that can become a big problem. So all of these things are great ways that we can, you know, make sure that we keep our pets nice and healthy and that they're with us for as long as possible and that they have the best quality of life during that period of time.
Awesome. Fantastic tips. Okay, so where can people go if they want to get more information about the U.S. Army Reserve, its veterinary corps, or the military working dogs since it's National Pet Wellness Month?
So a great website to visit is usar.army.mil. That's usar.army.mil. And at this website, you can research a lot more about the Army Reserve and the over 120 jobs that they have to offer, just in case anyone's interested.
Perfect. Okay. So once again, that website is usar.army.mil. Of course, USAR stands for U.S. Army Reserve. So usar.army.mil. And we've been speaking today with Lieutenant Colonel Jessica Brozda. She's the Veterinary Preventative Medicine Officer in the U.S. Army Reserve. And of course, we've been talking about the military working dogs and the excellent care that they receive with the U.S. Army Reserve because October is National Pet Wellness Month. Lieutenant Colonel Brozda, I want to thank you so much for being here and sharing these fantastic tips for all pet owners. The quality of care that goes into the military working dogs is definitely transferable to all of our animals. So thank you so much for your time today.
Oh, you're welcome. Thank you for having me.
A dog? I'm not. I was born for a purpose, to bring you hope, to guide you out of darkness. When past battles cloud your mind, I push them away. You tell me I'm your hero, just as you are mine. A dog? I'm not. With me, you see the world again.
Learn more at dogsinc.org.
I'm Heather Vail with the Odyssey Las Vegas Public Affairs Show, and this is your community events calendar for nonprofit initiatives and charity events around the valley. Green Our Planet's Fall Giant Student Farmers Market, sponsored by Formula One Las Vegas Grand Prix, is happening next Wednesday, October 16th from 9:30 a.m. to 12:30 p.m. at the Clark County Government Center in downtown Las Vegas. The student-run farmers market will feature produce grown from Clark County School District school gardens, and student farmers will be there to sell their produce and crafts to the public, with all proceeds returning to the schools to preserve the school's garden programs. Find out more at greenourplanet.org. That's greenourplanet.org. Communities and Schools of Nevada is holding their 14th annual Today for Tomorrow fundraising UnGala next Saturday, October 19th at 6 p.m. at Fontainebleau, Las Vegas. This year's Today for Tomorrow honorees are longtime supporters Don and Christopher Hume. Get your tickets or find out more at cisnevada.org. That stands for Communities in Schools, cisnevada.org. Junior Achievement of Southern Nevada is hosting its annual Boo-a-thon bowling tournament with an option to play on Saturday, October 19th from 12 to 2 p.m. or Sunday, October 20th from 3 to 5 p.m. at the Santa Fe Station Bowling Center. Prizes will be awarded in several costume, decoration, performance, and fundraising categories. Register to play or get more information at southernnevada.ja.org under events. That's southernnevada.ja.org under events. The 14th annual NF Hope Concert to raise money for those living with neurofibromatosis, or NF, is happening on Sunday, October 20th at 1 p.m. at the Smith Center. The concert is inspired by Emma Lebo, daughter of former Jersey Boys star Jeff Lebo and his wife Melody. Get your tickets or find out more at nfhope.org. That's nfhope.org. Monday's Dark with Mark Chinook is a bi-monthly musical fundraising party at The Space, with each event raising $10,000 for a specific charity in 90 minutes. Upcoming shows include Monday, October 21st at 8 p.m. benefiting the Human Rights Campaign, and Monday, November 4th at 8 p.m. benefiting the Bonnie Fang Foundation. Get tickets or find out more details at mondaysdark.com. That's mondaysdark.com. The Candlelighters Childhood Cancer Foundation of Nevada is looking for sponsors and volunteers to make their 26th annual Halloween Bash a success. The event for pediatric cancer patients and their families is happening on Thursday, October 24th from 5:30 to 8 p.m. at Cowabunga Bay Water Park in Henderson. Register to volunteer, be a sponsor, or make a donation at candlelightersnv.org. That's candlelightersnv.org. Dazzle Africa is holding their third annual Imagine Gala on Saturday, October 26th at 6 p.m. at Treasure Island. Funds raised will support anti-poaching initiatives, clean water, and education for the rural communities of Zambia. Get your tickets or find out more at dazzleafrica.org. That's dazzleafrica.org. And the Nevada Partnership for Homeless Youth, or NPHY, is hosting the 8th Annual Nevada Youth Homelessness Summit on Friday, November 8th from 9 a.m. to 5 p.m. at Las Vegas City Hall. Help build the movement to end youth homelessness across Nevada. You can get the details or register to attend at nphy.org/summit24. That's nphy.org/summit24.